All right, guys, Patriots back on their winning ways. We saw a little bit of a different offense. Up-tempo, no huddle. Is this something that they had planned for Denver, or is this something that they've been working up to?
I think it's something they've been working up to, and I don't think it's really different. It's just faster. It's faster than we've ever seen it. I kind of thought part of that was they ran more out of it than we've ever seen it. You know, another week where they get 200 yards, rush the ball 50 times, and I thought that kind of helped the speed out. Bill Belichick kind of poo-pooed that in the post-game press conference.
Right.
But I don't think this was Denver-specific. I think they've been building towards this. They want to be versatile. They want to have the ability to run or pass at any time, and they want to do it as fast as they possibly can.
So does that mean we'll be seeing more of it, Paul?
I think there'll be times when you do. I'm not sure that Seattle is the perfect one for those purposes because of the way the crowd is, obviously, in that stadium. But I do think that this is what Belichick and Josh McDaniels want to do more often than not. And I think that the wrinkle, as Andy said, was just how fast those plays were going. I mean, there was times, you know, looking back at the game book, it was 11 seconds between plays, 13 seconds, 17 seconds. They're running three, four plays in a minute. That's really remarkable. And the stress that can put on a defense is obvious. But the execution level and the discipline it takes to do it offensively is pretty impressive as well, and there were very few mistakes.
And this
along
may
the way
be a Brady thing, because everybody wants to say, when's he going to start to lose it physically? He's
right
on the wrong side. Well, maybe they say, as he starts to decline physically, we'll take advantage of his greatest asset, and that's his mind, the knowledge of this system. So this could be kind of a transformation down the road, too.
I mean, I contend, you know, like you would see that, and you would say, well, why doesn't every team do that? You need a quarterback like Brady. And there are others out there. I'm not saying he's the only one, but you need a quarterback that's a field general that
you also need everybody else.
It's the personnel groups, yeah. You need to have tight ends. You know, they can put two tight ends on the field and equally effective running and throwing. Not a lot of teams can do that stuff. You have a guy like Ridley that you can split out wide and maybe, you know, be a threat to catch the ball out of the backfield. You don't have to have that Darren Sproles type to put in the game, whereas you're probably not going to run the ball as much when he's in the game. So I think Andy's right. It's the personnel that they have around just as much as it's Brady. But you're right. Not just any quarterback could do
it. How about receivers that, you know, know where to go?
Well,
you couldn't have done it with Chad Ochocinco a year ago.
Right.
He didn't know when you huddled up where to go coming out of the huddle. Never mind going no huddle. So
yeah.
I think you need to get Brady as the leader. The biggest premium is on him. But I think everybody else deserves a pat on the back for executing as
well.
And,
you know, you brought up the receivers. And we're going to talk about the running game in a second. But, you know, Wes Welker, once again, not a lot of yards per catch. But when they needed him, he was there. Key catches.
Yeah, almost all of them, it seemed, converted third downs into first downs. And, you know, 13 catches for 100 yards might not seem overly impressive on the surface. But I think when you consider some of the times and circumstances that he caught the ball, it was one of them in particular. It was a quick out that the ball was thrown well before he turned around. It was almost on top of him.
Right.
And he caught it right at his face. He even joked about it afterwards because that one was a little too close. But just the timing that he and Brady have down, still, and I know that we made too much of it, but it still makes me scratch my head as to why. It didn't seem like this was part of the plan at the start.
Who cares? He's back where he's supposed to
be. Absolutely.
He's the leading receiver. He's on pace for well over 100 balls again. He's getting targeted with half of Brady's passes. All is right in New England.
Now, there's no change of pace with Stephen Ridley. Carryover from the game before. Once again, Patriots as a team over 200 yards rushing. I mean, this is unbelievable what they're doing on the ground. Is it just because of the up-tempo, or, you know, would they be doing this anyway?
Well, I think it gets back to the personnel groupings that Andy talked about at the start. When you're getting the other team to, you know, dictate to what they want to do based on what your personnel is, now you're in control. And Tom Brady talked about it after the game. We're getting a lot of lighter looks, smaller looks. We have to take advantage of those. He said they had a lot of advantageous situations to run in. They're taking the advantage. But here's the thing. 2 years ago, when they were trying to do this to certain teams, and I think specifically with the playoff game here against the Jets, they weren't able to do it. They ran the ball 28 times that game, but not for anywhere near the amount of yards that they're able to get now. So when teams are going with their nickel package and they want to go lighter up front, the Patriots are killing them right now. And Stephen Ridley, Brandon Bolden, Danny Woodhead in his spots, they're now taking advantage of those lighter fronts. They couldn't do it before.
Ridley with over 150 yards, but he had the fumble late. It's something that the Patriots are looking at. And, you know, this is a guy who has fumbled in the past going back to college. So it's clearly an issue that, you know, they have to monitor. They took him right out of the game after that. We didn't see him again. You know, what are we going to see next game? Are we going to see Ridley start, or are they going to send a little message to him?
I think you'll see him play. He may not start, but he may not have been set to start anyway. You never know how they're going to treat the starting lineup. Woodhead could start, Kareem. Who knows?
Oh, Julian Edelman's back. You could start.
That is true. He did have a good May. But looking at Ridley, I give him so much credit because he's so good. He's the guy we thought he was coming in. It's not just the line, it's him. He can get you 7 yards. How many times have we seen this year already 15-yard runs from him? Started in week one.
Yeah.
And, it's so fun to watch. He's on pace for the second-best season in Patriots history rushing.
Right.
Only Corey Dillon did more. And that is so good, and yet you know how important it is to not fumble. Bill Belichick talks about it all the time. You're right, he was removed immediately. He fumbled two games in a row last year. He was benched. We never saw him again. Who knows what he could have done in the Super Bowl? We were not going to find out because he was off the option list. He's fumbled 2 weeks in a row now. I know you kind of downplayed one that rolled out of bounds in Buffalo.
I didn't see it. Didn't happen.
Okay, but that's two in a row.
I'm like Carl Everett. I didn't see the dinosaurs. They didn't exist.
This was a big one. This was in a big situation where you're trying to run out of victory. That's the worst possible time for this to happen. So it's worrisome. There's no doubt it's worrisome. And I know people are kind of joking. Kevin Falk retired this week. Maybe he had his fumbling problems. Maybe he can fix whatever is quote-unquote broken with Ridley, but he's already been working with him. They have a relationship back from LSU, so I don't have the answer, but I don't think the answer is benching him.
Alphonso Dennard made his NFL regular season debut on Sunday, and I got to tell you, first impressions were pretty positive. I thought the rookie got out there, he competed hard, and I really like the style that he plays. He's a shorter, thicker guy, stocky build, kind of like Ty Law. And before you guys choke on your Cheerios out there, I'm not saying this guy is Ty Law. I just compare his style to the way that Ty played, and I like that. I like not just allowing a completion, but fighting for the football. And this is what we saw. It was only about 30 plays, first game, but I got to tell you, it left me wanting to see some more. I'm going to stay on defense here for a little bit, and I'm going to talk about Rob Ninkovich. He had a slow start to the season by his own admission. He was a little bit frustrated after the first couple of games. He's playing full-time defensive end, not a whole lot of linebacker responsibilities that he's had in the past in terms of pass coverage. But all of a sudden now, he's starting to get after the passer a little bit, and he's making some big plays. This is Rob Ninkovich. I don't think he's the kind of guy that's going to get 12 sacks and wind up in the Pro Bowl someday, but he's going to show up from time to time with a play like he did on Sunday against McGahee, where he comes up with a big strip on an inside run. He had a strip sack of Peyton Manning. The last couple of weeks, he's getting a little bit more active, and Rob Ninkovich seems more comfortable at defensive end. I'm going to step into the Wayback Machine a little bit for my final point and talk a little about Kevin Falk. He just announced his retirement, and really, what a great Patriot football player Kevin Falk was. He's going to be in that Hall of Patriot place, presented by Raytheon, by the way, someday. Absolutely deserves it. So many big plays over the years. The direct snaps, the two-point conversions, the catches out of the backfield, the blitz pickups. Kevin Falk just did everything well, and he came up and did it in a timely fashion. One play that sticks out to me is one that not a lot of people talk about, but a one-handed catch down the sideline against Chicago way back in 2002 led to one of the greatest comebacks I've ever seen. Patriots win that game 33-30, and they don't win it without Kevin Falk.
Coming up on Patriots Football Weekly.
It's all just because of the colors, you know?
Yeah.
Orioles colors are cool.
New England Football Night is presented by AT&T, the nation's fastest mobile broadband network. Putnam Investments celebrates 75 years of pursuing performance excellence. Putnam is a proud partner of the New England Patriots. Images of the Week, brought to you by Jack Daniels. Drink responsibly.
For the Images of the Week this week, I have a little theme, Peyton Face. This one, we have Chandler Jones and Jermaine Cunningham teaming up for a big hit. Next, Rob Ninkovich with a strip sack and a fumble. Finally, this is one all Patriots fans love to see at the end of a game.
Player Perspective, brought to you by Putnam Investments.
Rob Ninkovich is not just a linebacker. He's a huge baseball fan, too. But generally, you wear only the winning team's hat. You have your hometown Chicago White Sox today. Yeah, a guilt trip?
I think, it's great to support the home team. Sometimes you might see me around here with a couple different hats on, but it's all just because of the colors,
Yeah.
Orioles colors are cool.
Orioles happen to be a playoff team, by the way.
Who else? I like the orange. I won't wear a Yankees hat. That's just...
All right, smart man. Back to the more serious side of things here. Defensively, coming together a little bit in the front seven. You talked a little bit after the game on Sunday about being a little disappointed the first couple of games, and you felt like maybe you've gotten back to your style a little bit more. What is Rob's style?
You know, I feel that... You know, early on, obviously it was a little bit different position on the line. Every play going against a guy that's, you know, usually a little bit bigger than me. So, you know, just kind of instead of maybe overthinking the run or overthinking the pass, just going out there and defeating the guy that I'm going against and, you know, making plays off of that. So just kind of looking back on the tape earlier in the season, I feel like maybe I was staying on people a little too long, trying to look around these guys as opposed to, you know, just getting off on the ball, you know, using my athletic ability to just beat the guys, you know, in front of me and then make a play after that.
Now, you talked a lot about defensive end is really the position that you played more often, you know, most often than any other. Was it just kind of getting back to, okay, I don't have to worry about dropping any coverage as much?
Yeah, I mean, it's just different in a sense of the game itself with no coverage whatsoever. It's a different mindset. You know, really it's more of a, you know, straight attack mode. You're never going backwards, so you're always going forwards. And that's just, you know, a different changeup, you know, and just the whole game, you know, playing out the whole game. It's just a different type of feel for the game.
You had strip sacks in the last 2 weeks. Do we make it number three this week? Want to make a prediction?
That'd be nice. No predictions, but, you know, the last 2 weeks were good, so hopefully I can continue that.
Patriots head to the Pacific Northwest this week to take on Pete Carroll's upstart Seahawks. And it may be trite, but the first order of business is to shut down the running game. Seahawks want to play defense, protect Russell Wilson, and run the beast. Beast mode, Marshawn Lynch, he wants to eat his Skittles. Already has over 500 yards rushing, averaging 100 yards a game, 4.5 a carry. But the Patriots have a top 10 run defense. So Vince Wilfork, Gerard Mayo and company, keep doing what you've been doing and shut down the run. If the defense gets its job done, it turns to Tom Brady and the skill position players on offense, and it's about ball security this week. Pete Carroll's defense is a young, speedy, swarming unit. They pressure the quarterback off the edge. They have safeties that play like linebackers. They swarm to the football with abandon. They try to force turnovers. So Brady, protect the ball when you drop back. Receivers, secure the ball. And obviously the running backs need to secure the football as well, and that means Stephen Ridley coming off a questionable week a week ago. Maybe the most talented aspect of what the Seahawks bring to the stadium is the 12th player, the crowd. They can be an impact for opposing teams. Patriots want to run the hurry up, fast tempo, no huddle. The crowd could be an issue. If the defense start making plays for Seattle, the crowd can be an issue. The best way to take the defense away, make plays as a visitor. That means the crowd control falls to Tom Brady and the Patriots skill position players to get a lead and roll to victory.
Coming up on Patriots Football Weekly.
I don't care who he's doing it against. They couldn't run the ball.
Dragging coattails. Jones is dragging his own coattails.
Patriots Football Weekly, brought to you by Ace Ticket, the official fan travel partner of the Patriots. For information, call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com. Around the NFL.
Is the Randy Moss, I'm not happy watching San Francisco on already? Probably not, but here are the numbers. Through five games, he has 9 catches for 99 yards and a touchdown. Wes Welker has that in a quarter. Now, his head coach, Jim Harbaugh, touted him as a big contributor to the offense at the beginning of the season, and he says, don't worry, he's going to have a breakout game. But last week, they beat the Bills 45-3, and Moss only had 1 catch. If that wasn't going to be his breakout game, when will it be?
As I was watching the Houston Texans take apart the New York Jets Monday night, and I was watching J.J. Watt basically make every play, it reminded me to go back to my trusty draft notes from 2 years ago, and I wanted to look to see exactly what I thought of J.J. Watt. And as I expected, he was number 8 on my list of defensive linemen here. And the first comment I made for Watt, not dynamic. Yeah, I nailed that one. J.J. Watt right now could be the most dominant interior defensive lineman in football. Basically, he does everything well. He has those huge hands. He gets to a lot of passes, knocks a lot of balls down. Right now, he is impacting that Texans defensive front like no other player in football. I had this one wrong. I know it's hard to believe, folks, but J.J. Watt's a pretty good player, and I really didn't see it coming.
Heading into 2012, I was a big fan of the Kansas City Chiefs. Matt Cassel, Romeo Crennel, two of the nicest men to ever pass through Gillette Stadium. So I was rooting for them, and it has not gone well. They're off to a bad start. Cassel not playing well. More turnovers than touchdowns. But it really became awful on Sunday when he was knocked out cold at his home stadium. And what did his home fans do? They cheered because they want to get rid of Cassel. They want to get rid of Crennel. They want to blow it up. They don't think it's working. I understand that sentiment, but you're supposed to be good football fans. And in this day and age of head injuries and player safety, when a player is knocked out, this isn't an ankle sprain, when he's knocked out and the home crowd cheers, I don't care what the reason, that's an embarrassment. Those people should be ashamed of themselves. Go Matt Cassel.
Trash Talk, brought to you by Waste Management. Remodeling or just have clutter to get rid of? Waste Management's new Baxter dumpster in a bag can take it on. Visit thebaxter.com for more info.
The Patriots have gotten contributions from a lot of young players this season. Which Patriot has been the most pleasant surprise?
I got to go with the voters across the NFL and go with September Defensive Rookie of the Month, Chandler Jones. I thought this guy would have some impact early, but I thought it would be maybe situational or occasional. To me, he's been one of the best defensive players on this football team right out of the gates, and we saw it in August. I mean, we started to see, as soon as he was competitive in drills, you said, okay, this guy can play, and he's not the developmental prospect that some people tried to sell us.
Yeah, we're going to have to work this one up because I agree that Jones has been terrific, but to me, the bigger surprise has been Stephen Ridley, and, you know, I kind of thought that Jones could do some of the things based on what we saw in training camp. I thought he could take that to the regular season action. Ridley, I thought, was going to be the lead back, but it was going to be more of the committee stuff, and the carries were going to be divided up. Maybe when all was said and done, he'd be around 700, 800 yards and do some things like that. Well, he's halfway to that now. You know, five games into the season, I think he's shown a tremendous ability to get to the second level on those runs in between the tackles. So many big plays, you know, 15-yard runs, 20-yard runs. Obviously, he's got to hold on to the football. That's something to be worried about. But I did not see this kind of production consistently from Ridley. And I just think all around, everything you look at, around the goal line, I think he's shown a nice nose for the end zone. I think that he's gotten some big first downs and short yardage plays. I think he has been very effective when getting the ball earlier in the series. Second and tens, you know, there's been so many seconds and ten. And instead of just ending up with, you know, third and five, which is solid, you know, you get a good five-yard run, he's moved the chains on some of those plays. Right now, he's on pace for 1,500-plus yards. Yeah. I did not see that anywhere near in the future for him.
And I think the biggest thing for me is, who's he working with? You know, I think it's somewhat easy. I don't mean disrespectful, but it's somewhat easy to run the ball against sub-defenses when you have Tom Brady and Wes Welker and Rob Gronkowski. You know, guys in Indy made a career of it. Joseph Addai, people thought he was good because he did that. It wasn't that impressive. I could have run on those plays. But Chandler Jones comes into a defense that was 31st in the NFL last year. Historically bad. Do you remember how bad we were talking about it week in and week out last year? And he comes in and he changes that defense. He makes impact plays out of the gates. You could argue they would have been in a dogfight on opening weekend if it weren't for his plays. And he is making those type of plays as the focal point, not riding anyone's coattails. There is no coattails to ride. He's the pass rush. He came in a position with no depth, had to be a starter, is a starter, and is a good starter. That is a heavy weight to bear, and he's doing a great job with
it. Yeah, he is doing a great job. But you look at the changing of the unit that he's on. I mean, Ridley has completely transformed the offense. His ability...
From 30 points to 30 points.
No, but it's obviously, Andy, it's a whole different way they're going about it, and it's his production that's allowing them to go about doing it in a different way.
He's doing it against defenses that are trying to stop Tom Brady, and they're stunned when Tom Brady
doesn't throw it. I don't care who he's doing it against. They couldn't run the ball like...
Jones is dragging his own coattails.
He could not do this against the personnel that in the past. They couldn't run the ball the way they have against lighter fronts. And this is because of Stephen Ridley.
They could have, and they did last year when Ridley was on the field.
Yeah, but
we knew he was going to be good. In the role he's in, he was going to be good.
How many yards did you think Ridley was going to have? And don't lie.
This year?
Yeah.
1,500.
800. You're on record as saying 800.
1,500.
You're lying like you always do.
I do. I'm trying to win.
Patriots Football Weekly is brought to you in part by Pepsi. Official soft drink of the New England Patriots. Patriots Football Weekly is brought to you in part by Roach Brothers Tasty Tailgating, official tailgate partner of New England Football Night. Read and React, brought to you by Yokohama. Yokohama. Technology drives better tires.
All right, it's question time, and these are the ones that you sent to askpfw at patriots.com. But first, the Wilson Hart Index.
This week, as most weeks over the last 2 years, Houston Texans remain in the top spot. Atlanta stays in the number two spot, San Francisco three. Patriots move up one slot to number six thanks to their victory. And if you want to look at the basement, you'll find Scott Pioli's Kansas City Chiefs at 32.
I think Houston should have moved down after Monday night's performance, but that's all right.
Take what you want. The numbers don't lie.
No, they don't. When you throw that dart, it's right there. Okay, Joe writes in. It's the first question at AskPFWPatriots.com. He thinks that
like
the Texans aren't as good as their 5-0 record says, and that the Patriots are a field goal away from 4-1 and a review away from 5-0. What do you think, Paul?
Well, I do think Houston has yet to be tested. I think their toughest game was probably at Denver, which was a good win. I think the Patriots-Broncos game was a solid game this week. I think that's a good football team. But beyond that, I think there have been very few and far between in terms of tough tests for Houston. However, I kind of agree with Andy and his throw-a-dart index on this one. I think that Houston is pretty good. I think they showed last year winning some games with a third-string quarterback and, you know, not just playing defense, but they were able to score. They're balanced on offense. They're balanced between offense and defense. That's a pretty good football team. Yeah, the Patriots are a couple of plays from being 5-0. I totally agree with that. But they're also, you know, a fourth-quarter collapse by Buffalo away from maybe having another loss on their ledger, too. So that's a dangerous game to play.
Okay. Next one comes in from Mike McMillan, and he wants to know, he thinks that maybe the center position is a weak link on this team.
Yeah, I don't agree. I think Ryan Wendell has done a pretty good job. Now, he's not the best center in the league. He's not a Pro Bowl center, but you're talking about in an ideal situation, he's probably a backup because Dan Conley's probably your starter and Brian Waters is probably your right guard, but that's not how this unfolded. Robert Gallery retired, so Conley has to start at right guard. I think Wendell has done a very nice job through the first 5 weeks here, and center's not a position where I think you need to dominate. I think it's more of a heady position where you're sort of the quarterback of the line. You need to make sure everybody's on the same page and then fall in line with your combination blocks. And when they've rushed for 200 yards in consecutive weeks here for the first time since, you know, when I was born in 1978, that tells me that offensive line as a whole is getting the job done, and Wendell gets a little credit for that.
All right, well, remember, send your questions to askpfw@patriots.com.